Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right, today is the day. Today is the day we get to the story about the Israeli-Arab porn film, which is not going to be nearly as interesting as all the build-up now. We built it up into this impossibly huge thing that we can no longer satisfy with the actual story. So we'll get to it today, though. It's 2 minutes, 38 seconds after the hour 12 in this, the month of January, the year of our Lord, 2003. Thanks for coming along. It's the Rick Emerson Show, live from the studios of Hot Talk 1080 KOTK in lovely, beautiful downtown Portland, Oregon. We're joined by Tim Riley in the KOTK newsroom, the lovely Sarah Dillon in the executive producer's chair, and Jolie from the front desk, who's in for Sarah, who's in for Matt, who's at a, I don't know, hog-tying museum or whatever it is they do in Florida. And here's the thing about Florida. Let me talk about Florida for a second. I don't really think of Florida as being the South, but when you think about it, it really is. But when you think of Southern people, I never ever think about people in Florida. When you talk about Southern folks or people from the South or people from down yonder, I always think about Mississippi, Atlanta, Georgia, Texas. I never think about Florida.
Florida's a minimum wage state as well.
Really?
Like Alabama, Mississippi.
But here's the question. But people from Florida don't have accents, do they?
Yes, they do.
They have Southern accents from Florida?
Yes, they do.
It's not y'all and twang and howdy, hey, Billy Bob, though, is it?
Yes, it is.
I thought everybody in Florida was just...
I don't know. People have accents in Oregon now.
Well, those people are just hicks, though. That's the universal hick accent. In Florida, I thought it was just... I don't know. I thought it was just a bunch of old women going, you know, where's my cream cheese?
Those are the people who moved there from New York.
No. A friend of mine, my friend Simone, just got a gig in Orlando. She lives there now, and she writes me this email, and she's like, you know, this place is filled with grandmothers, none of whom speak any English. God, it's hot. It's only January. So, anyway. I don't know what I'm talking about, Florida. Ah, Matt. So, anyway, we'll talk to Matt later on. Coming up later on today, we got Jolie from the front desk with How Chicks Think. Betsy's going to be here later on today. Jim Roop from CNN Radio is going to talk to us about the SUVs, terrorism, and the People's Choice Awards. Arianna Huffington, can I just tell you that I would just... defile her in so many ways. I know that I'm alone. I know that it's really just me and Bill Maher who feel this way, but Arianna Huffington is just a righteous babe, as Ani DiFranco would say. Just a whole hunk of burning, just with the throbbing and the...
Looks like she had a recent nose job.
Oh, I don't care, man. Doesn't matter. No. Have you seen Nicole Kidman? Have you seen the Nicole Kidman and that the others or the hours or whatever
the hours? Yeah.
She's got like a whole false nose going on. It's to make her look like Virginia Woolf. They gave her like a she has the whole prosthetic latex nose. Anyway, I forget what I was talking about. Oh, and the top five today in honor of the Grammys continued ignorance and oversight of good artists, given their nominations yesterday of David Bowie. Among other folks. Today we got the top five artists who have never won a Grammy. That's coming up later on today. The top five musical acts who have never won a Grammy. This, however, is the reason you have paid your money, ladies and gentlemen. As the red velvet curtains part, we reveal Tim Riley in the KOTK newsroom.
From the KOTK newsroom, here's your Northwest update.
And this news is brought to you by America One Financial, where they offer no upfront fees and a free appraisal with your mortgage. Call 503-699-5272. 503-699-5272. America One, your neighborhood lender. You know, speaking of Avril Lavigne, I heard her name pronounced wrong this morning. I was listening to Oregon 12 News on my Volvo because you can listen to TV. And you can.
He says gloatingly.
And I heard Kimberly Mouse or Moss or whatever her name is, call her Avril Lavigne.
Lavigne. Well, it's like the, I don't know what it's like. Oh, it's like, here's what it's like. It's like, who's that guy, Bill Tush or whatever? And what an unfortunate name that is.
Is
that guy on CNN? Is that the guy that does the CNN entertainment updates? Not on the radio, but on the TV. I think it's Bill Tush. Anyway, but when Biggie Smalls got killed a few years ago, I remember them referring to him as the Notorious Big. The Notorious Big! Gunned down in the... It's just embarrassing. Somebody, and I hope you all will point that out to me, when my age becomes sufficiently advanced that I can no longer correctly pronounce the names of today's happening pop favorites, that you'll just pull me aside and just say, dude, give it up. Or that you'll at least correct me. Don't just let me let me say this. Don't just do what we do to our parents. Don't let me just blunder along for years incorrectly pronouncing the names of musicians, never knowing about the Snickers that happened behind my back. If I pronounce something incorrectly... Like when Tim called POD, when he called them Pod a year ago, you know, the number three, Pod. And it's like, we got to pull him aside and say, POD. Because otherwise you're just going to say it and everybody's going to think that you're just a Nimrod. And we don't want to think that. And I'm such a Nimrod already and I'm not even 30 that, You know, it's like increasing age is just going to increase. It's just a geometric expansion of my Nimrodiness is going to happen. So I forget what we were talking about, but this is Tim Riley.
Well, as the search for the body of a Portland teenager enters its third day, Portland police now say they think they know when 18-year-old Cassandra Brown was killed, but they're not saying how. Meanwhile, her boyfriend Benjamin Kramer, also 18, remains jailed, charged with the girl's murder. Search crews have returned to the Columbia Slough at Kelly Point, plan to use tools to help them locate Brown's body. Benjamin Kramer's neighbor says she can't believe this good kid could do anything wrong.
He's just such a sweet kid. He's so helpful. And I just don't believe this of him.
Yeah, they never do.
Meanwhile, a dog died this week while competing in the Attaboy 300 dog sled race. We said this was going to happen.
I predicted that.
You completely predicted that.
I totally said it was going to happen. And it's all that's left now, I urge the remaining dogs to turn on their masters and devour them like so much kibble. Do it now.
Now, the dog belonged to a woman named Melanie of Montana, one of the top contenders. The dog died Monday during the first stage of the race, a 45-mile loop around Mount Bachelor. An autopsy reveals no problem, so the cause of death is unknown. The dog passed the preliminary veterinary check, and there's no mistreatment of the dog, it says. It's rare for a dog to die while pulling a sled.
Yeah, whatever you say. We've got cars now. I mean, we have cars. It's what they're there for. You got snowmobiles. It's what they're there for. They're there to go across the snow. You have to chain up the family dog.
Well, the mushers race with a maximum of 12 dogs. Are allowed to bring 16, just in case they need spares.
That'd be great. Can't they just use prisoners or something, or the French, or did something other than dogs? Bugs me.
Governor Kitzhaber made his final speech in office calling for us to support Measure 28.
Key to economic recovery is having better schools, better infrastructure, and better social services.
Who could disagree? The governor left. So that's enough for him.
I don't even know what that was about.
Oh, Measure 28.
Which is what?
Oh, they're firing cops. They're throwing the mentally retarded into the streets. They're closing schools.
Well, all right then.
Yeah. Oh, they're closing down the courts.
Oh, that, well, that is that because of, is that the, but is this all one grand sweeping budget thing?
Yeah, it's a mess.
All right, okay. So this, is this related to the thing of firing the school janitors?
No, that's something separate. But that's related.
I can never tell. I can never tell anymore. It's just all one big huge massive ball of fiscal red tape. I can never follow any of it.
It's time for the battle watch.
Here's your battle watch for Wednesday in the Rick Emerson Show.
I want you to remember that no bastard ever won war by dying for his country. He won it by making the other poor dumb bastard die for his country.
Well, first off, the credibility of President Bush's multi-billion dollar missile defense plans are being questioned by leading scientists after claims that the results of key tests are falsified.
No.
MIT is considering an investigation into accusations that there are fundamental flaws in the proposed Son of Star Wars, and everything's being, well, covered up. The criticism led by a physicist named Theodore Pistol, and a missile defense critic at MIT, he says, this is the most serious fraud that's ever been put on the American people by a university.
And you don't want the people at MIT starting to look into your scientific doings. It's like having the people at MIT do your taxes. Those guys, they don't... Seriously, all the smartest people on the globe are headquartered at MIT. That's like an epicenter of intellectual expansionism there. You don't want those guys probing anything.
Anyway, they plan on having 10 missile interceptors in Alaska by 2004. It's being built by Raytheon, which built TWR to the contest. But Dr. Pistol said the TWR test, which offers a rare glimpse into the highly secretive world of missile testing, is based on the same infrared technology used by Raytheon, and there are flaws all through this thing. He says it's a serious case of scientific fraud. So.
Well, of course, that's what I'm saying. The Bush people don't want the MIT people looking at that, because if there's fraud, the MIT... The people at MIT are... They're frightening. I mean, they're unnervingly intelligent. They're not like us. They're not normal.
Their hair is always a mess.
They're not normal human people. They're not these weird Clifford Stoll-looking bastards, so I don't know what their deal is. And secondly, we're installing the Star Wars system... Why, again?
From evildoers.
Oh, okay.
Right. Can we decide who the next enemy is?
I mean, if there's aliens, just tell us. I mean, if there's reptilians who are bent on coming here and making us into a Stouffer's dinner, just let me know. But don't lie. No, it's because Iraq has got... What are we supposed to believe? Saddam has got bases on the moon. You know, what the fuck are we supposed to believe that?
Well, British Parliament member George Galloway is in the Middle East watching the locals' reaction to the imminent war with Iraq.
I'm taking the temperature here in the Arab countries, and I can assure you it's a boiling point. And the gates of hell will open if we go ahead with this.
Yeah.
And I think the British Foreign Office knows it, and maybe your own State Department knows it too.
Well, Galloway claims the Iraqi war would lead to the return of the white man's colonization of the darker skin side of the world.
Absolutely so. It would be the reoccupation of a part of the world which kicked the British imperialists out a very long time ago and would leave the United States armed forces in physical occupation of four Arab Gulf countries, Kuwait, Qatar, Saudi Arabia, and Iraq, meaning 550 years of oil supply and about two-thirds of the world's production. That we have a saying, you do too, if it walks like a duck, looks like a duck, and quacks like a duck, chances are it is a duck.
What kind of an accent is that? I can't even tell where it is.
I believe that's a...
Is he Scottish or something?
Scottish brogue.
All right. I mean, even Andrea Mitchell, who was on IMUS yesterday from... She's from Newsweek. Isn't that where Andrea Mitchell's from, Newsweek? And she's married to Alan Greenspan, which is weird, because he... Alan Greenspan is a freaky-looking guy. Imagine having to have sex with Alan Greenspan. It's like having sex with a piece of papyrus. You know what I mean? It's
one
like,
big wrinkle.
It's like having sex with a Ferengi. I don't even... That's what he looks like. He looks like
That's
Quark.
One of my favorite words.
He looks like Quark. It's just true. He does. I don't even know what I was talking about. Oh, but Andrea Mitchell was talking about how... why are we even... And we've mentioned this since day one. This is like the dog sled thing. We call this so far in advance that the 27th is going to come. They're going to say they didn't find anything. We're going to go to war with Iraq anyway, just because we're all bent on doing it for reasons that are readily apparent to no one. Let me also say this about North Korea vis-a-vis Iraq. I was in line at the Safeway last night. So standing in line, you know, you do that, the speed
using
reading.
The card?
What's that?
Using that little red card?
You mean the do you have a Safeway Club shopper card?
Yeah,
but mine's falsified.
Oh, you gave somebody else's phone number.
No, it's my information. Well, no, it's somebody else's phone number. Yeah, it's somebody else's phone number and name. I mean, it's not like another real person, but it's an aggregated set of false data. Right. Fake phone number, fake name, fake address, none of which are linked to anybody. There's no real person. So if you ever behind somebody in the supermarket and you hear them say, "Thank you, Mr. Clay," that's me. I'm Mr. Clay. And Mr. Clay has some, you know, like, where do you live? One, two, three... Butt Street, you know, and what's your middle name? Ashcroft. You know, I just totally make up all the information. But I'm there at Safeway doing the supermarket tabloid scan where you're there so you don't actually have to pick up the tabloids, so you can read as much of the tabloids as possible before they start ringing up your Tic Tacs or whatever. But I'm looking at the cover of Newsweek and Time, and they have a picture of Kim Il-jong from North Korea, who's a scary-looking guy, man. Have you seen him? Kim Il-jong is a freaky-looking bastard, man. He looks like the kind of guy that would just nuke you in a fit of pique for no reason at all. And so the headline is, Kim Il-jong, Saddam, who's the bigger threat? As though there's any need to even ask the question. Saddam's got, he's got bupkis, he's got the slingshots and harsh language. That's all he's got to use.
So getting back to this George Galloway guy, he can't find any support for Britain joining in W's war, and nobody in Parliament backs his thing either.
I think there's a division opening up in the British cabinet. Indeed, the BBC were reporting in the early hours of this morning that they could not find a single, not one, cabinet minister who supported the Prime Minister's intention to go to war with President Bush, whether the United Nations says so or not.
Not one.
No, and for a while it was us in, like, Paraguay in Britain, and I think now it's just us in Britain again.
I think it was Spain. Wasn't
That's
it?
Right. It was Spain.
It was some country that doesn't, you know, doesn't matter.
Well, it's Spanish. I mean, they're all sleeping all the time anyway. They can't be expected to keep up with the state of world affairs.
No. And that's today's Battle Watch.
There's your Battle Watch for Wednesday.
Americans play to win all the time. Americans love America. Now we have the best spirit and the best men in the world. That's why Americans have never lost and will never lose a war. Bye-bye.
Well, ratcheting up the debate over SUVs, new TV commercials suggest people who buy the vehicles are supporting terrorists.
Arianna Huffington is the one behind these commercials, by the way.
The commercials are so provocative that some TV stations are refusing to air them. Patented after the commercials that tried to discourage drug use by suggesting that profits from illegal drugs go to terrorists. We played one of those last week. The new commercials say the money for gas needed for SUVs goes to terrorists.
That's just insane.
At the local ABC affiliate in New York, The program director says there are a lot of statements being made that are not backed up, and they're talking about hot bottom issues.
Yeah, because it's just insanity to suggest that SUVs use a lot of gasoline, which it that. Never mind. I didn't want to talk about it. But I
that Lincoln Navigator I had.
Well, that's the reason why
that's
people.
That's why we're fighting.
That seriously, that's the reason people hate America is that Lincoln Navigator. I'm all for gluttony and rampant unchecked consumption and greed. Yeah, I'm all for it. But that Lincoln Navigator is the reason the rest of the world hates us. But let me a couple of things about that story. First of all, it's correct that that story say that those TV commercials are aimed at trying to stop drug use because they don't actually stop drug use.
Right. It's a war on drugs.
No, no television commercial actually gets you to stop using drugs. Secondly, the idea that these television stations. I mean, television stations would run puppies being put through blenders if they thought that it would get them a 10 share. You know what I mean? There's just nothing they won't show. And so the fact that they won't show a commercial which asserts correctly that our reliance on oil is one of the reasons why we can't seem to win the war on terror. I mean, the fact that they won't run that is just absurd. And lastly, this. The fact that they won't run the commercials. If the TV networks are just under the thumb of the oil industry and just don't want to bite the hand that pays them, that's fine. They should just admit it. If they want to cop to it and just say, look, we don't want to run these ads attacking SUVs because then the oil industry is going to come and cut off our sack, that's fine. But don't refuse to run them under this assertion that they're incorrect. Because if you were going to stop running every commercial that was incorrect, the first thing you quit running would be those anti-drug commercials. That would be the first thing. If they had some moral compunction about not running advertising that was false, those Partnership for a Drug-Free America commercials would be the first thing that got the axe. Because those things are false top to bottom. I mean, there's nothing true in those. I'm just saying.
Let's talk about Nicole Kidman. She plays troubled novelist Virginia Woolf in a story about three different women, all affected by her writings. In her role, Kidman underwent a huge transformation, including a prosthetic nose.
Prosthetic nose. What was I talking about?
Yeah. Causing many people not to recognize her in the film.
I didn't expect it when I was making the film. I mean, I knew that we were, it was just creating a character, so I didn't quite realize to what degree until they started test screening the movie and the director called me and said people didn't know you were in the movie. But that's great. That's cool. I like that.
What's it like to look at yourself in the mirror, Nicole?
Well, see, I can see me in there, but, you know, that's your job as an actor. Your face, your body, your voice, your soul, everything is there to be sort of changed.
Is that beeping? Is she in line at Winco?
To be true, to create.
She's at the checkout. Yeah.
Completely. Thank you, Mrs. Clay. A couple of things about this. A, have you seen, do you know what I'm talking about, that with the fake nose?
No.
Oh, yeah, they compared it to a picture of Virginia Woolf. Looks a lot like her.
But it doesn't look anything like Nicole Kidman.
Oh, nothing
There's
at all.
No, I mean, I didn't even believe it was her. They're like starring Meryl Streep and some other chick and Nicole Kidman. And I was like, well, where's Nicole Kidman? And I was like, oh, that's her on the right. And I'm like, no. I'm talking about Nicole Kidman. Where is she? You look at this, the movie poster or the, they come up with the edition of the book that has the movie cover on it, which, by the way, I can never bring myself to buy because it's embarrassing. Maybe it makes me pretentious or an elitist or something, but it's so embarrassing to
I
be reading a book
understand.
That has the movie cover on it.
Oh, I never, like Yaya Sisterhood and White Oleander, they changed them completely. Like, I have the original covers.
I'm so proud.
Michelle Pfeiffer on it.
This totally makes me sound like a dick. This is like some elitist bastard, but I'm so proud that I have the high fidelity book, the hardcover that doesn't have John Cusack on the front. But, anyway, but you look at the movie poster for The Hours. It doesn't look anything at all like Nicole Kidman. I mean, it's unbelievable how much it doesn't look like her.
Say, Nicole, did this role come along at the perfect time in your life?
It was just very present and very emotional, and I was in a raw state myself at the time, or a fragile sort of place. I think I'm always a bit fragile, but I was particularly fragile. And it was just, you know, one of those things where, I'm meant to be doing this now. For some reason, this has fallen into my lap at this time, and I've got to sort of embrace the opportunity rather than run away from it.
You know, it's sort of an adjunct to the Brittany and Justin conversation we were having last week. Can we all agree that everyone takes Nicole Kidman's side against Tom Cruise for reasons that we can't even quantify? Like, I don't even know why. I don't know what happened to the divorce. I have no idea. But we all just unilaterally took her side. I'm not sure why. It's just something we did. It's like we all took Ben Affleck. Well, that's because J-Lo's a hoe, though. We all know why that's the case. Tom Cruise isn't a hoe. He's just, I don't know what he is. He's got unnerving teeth, for one thing.
I think it's the braces.
I don't know. That's right. He does have those, and he has those invisible braces, too. All right. We got more on the way, including Jim Roop from CNN Radio, the top five artists who have never won a Grammy, Jolie from the front desk, Betsy later on. They'll go anywhere. It's a Rick Emerson Show on Hot Talk, Connecticut. It's the Crystal Method.
Only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right, here we're Sarah Dillon with the traffic.
Hello.
Rick Emerson, only from Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
It's 503-250-1080 in Portland, or 1-800-737-5955. CNN Radio's Jim Roop coming up here in a short while to talk about the SUVs. Let me just, more on Arianna Huffington, though. Here's the thing about Arianna Huffington. If Kate Winslet was about 55, that's who she'd be. Next time you see Arianna Huffington, take a good long look, and then think Kate Winslet, like around the Titanic era or whatever, and they're the same person. It's like on Titanic, there's the young, hot Kate Winslet and then the old, wrinkly-ass Kate Winslet. Arianna Huffington's like right in the middle. She's right about the 50-year-old Kate Winslet. She's a fine-looking, whip-smart, rich, probably owns a lot of stiletto heels and some things to hit you with.
Have you ever seen my little sister? Well, not so little. She's 20.
Is this an invitation?
No, she looks exactly like Kate Winslet.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Well, bring that on in here.
Oh, yeah. People have come up to her on the street and thought that she was her.
What are you holding out on a brother for?
Been here before, Rick.
Where was I?
You never remember anybody I bring in.
No.
You guys were too busy being talent.
That's exactly what I was doing. Back there, looking up. I heard that Data dies. I was too busy looking up rap songs about Frodo Baggins. All right, well, the next time she's here, point that out. I gotta get me some of that visually.
Hey, watch it?
No,
okay, visually, okay.
No, not get me some of that. That would be... No, I wouldn't do that. I'm saying I gotta get me some of that, the visual thing of the deal with the... There's no good way out of that sentence that I was just uttering. I don't know what I was thinking there. Why did I say that? Here's Tim Riley in the KOTK Newsroom.
Well, let's talk about them goths. Pop culture really embraces these outcasts, making some of them miserable. Maybe the turning point came when Virgin Megastores started selling those cute little vampire girl lunchboxes, or when suburban kids started buying their spiked collars at the mall, or when Kmart trotted out corset-inspired T-shirts.
Well, let's talk about goth kids for a moment. What is it with them and the lunchbox? What is that all about? Where are the roots on that? What is it with the goth kids and the little metal box to hold their crap? Sarah?
I never had a little metal box.
You know what I'm talking about. When you see the goth kids, they've all, especially the girls, they've all got the little lunchbox.
I don't know. Maybe they're too badass to carry around a purse.
Yeah.
So the box is the substitute for it.
I don't know. I don't know what that's all about.
Well, goth culture, along the exclusive domain of self-styled misfits and defiant outcasts, is bubbling up into the mainstream, making the black-clad, cold-eyed goth faithful who have endured the taunts of the normals for more than two decades something of a hot new thing. I have no idea what I just read. The irony of pop culture's cool kids embracing outcast fashion is not lost on the small but vital goth underground, whose response to the social thumbs up has mostly ranged from apathy to dismay. Everyone following?
It's just that goth people are looking for something else to be sad about. That's the whole thing about being a goth. How are you today? Sad. Why? I don't know. What the hell is that about? I like the way you dress. No, that ruins it. What the hell is that about? And let me just say this, by the way, just for the record. You all know this. I'm second to no one, or second to very few people. Logically, that sentence doesn't make any sense, but we're going to punch ahead. I'm second to no one in my love of goth girls. I got goth love, and I don't dress that way, and I'm not part of that culture. Goth chicks are way hot, but it's like... But there's no one more irritating than, especially goth guys. Goth guys, or don't you just want to smack them with something when you see them?
I agree. Goth chicks are cool. That takes a lot of discipline to be able to dress
and it's just hot. I mean, it's like pale skin, black clothes, lots of like makeup,
and then perfectly straight bangs,
and then probably cut your throat when you're sleeping. You know what I mean? Probably cut your throat while you're after sex. That's fine. I mean, I'm all with that. Goth dudes are just irritating to me for some reason. Goth guys, you just want to be like, here's some beer. Go get some sun.
It's like that Garth Brooks with a cowboy hat?
Goth Brooks. Hey, somebody write that down. That is brilliant. Somebody, that's a parody album waiting to happen. Tim Riley should get the credit for that. All royalties accrue to Tim Riley. Goth Brooks. I can't even top that, so we're going to go to Jim Roop, our man in Los Angeles, CNN radio correspondent extraordinaire. What's up with you, man?
Hey, I can't top it either. Nothing new here. Back to you.
Goth Brooks.
I love that.
That's brilliant.
Well,
and all
maybe just a little.
All I was going to do, that's like Dred Zeppelin. You remember Dred Zeppelin?
Yeah,
from the 90s?
Yeah.
Dred Zeppelin, man. Hey, there's this other band called Ted Zeppelin, and all they do is Nugent and Zeppelin covers.
That's cool.
Dred Zeppelin was great, man. That was the fine stuff when I heard that. Let me just talk about goth guys for a minute, because you got goth guys all over Los Angeles. Los Angeles, at least, I don't know, in the early to mid-90s, L.A. was like crawling with those goth types. They were everywhere there, and I don't know if it's still that way.
There's plenty of them in Hollywood. I was just there.
there's all those clubs in some parts of L.A. and in Hollywood, all those goth clubs. Here's the thing about being a goth, though. Sarah's right when it takes discipline, because, you know, there's nothing worse than this, than a fat goth, especially a fat goth guy.
But they mostly are.
A chunky guy putting himself into fishnets, trying to look like Trent Reznor, that goes badly. I guess if you're a girl, girls can probably pull it off, but a chunky guy packing himself into some Lestat outfit, it's bad.
Yeah, but black is a slimming color, isn't it?
Yeah, but it can only slim you so much, man. I mean, you can only polish that chunk of crap so much before it's just, hey, this is a chunk of crap. So, I don't know. Hey,
that's true.
Speaking of chunks of crap, so yeah. SUVs. So, now, there are these TV commercials now that they're airing, which Arianna Huffington is behind.
Right, yeah.
And they're trying to... They're trying to buy all these commercial spots to tell people that SUVs support terrorism, right?
Yeah, they're trying to link it just like the war on drug ads say buying drugs can fund terrorism. They're saying buying gasoline can fund terrorism because of our, I guess, addiction to foreign oil or Middle East oil. All the money is going to Saudi Arabia, and Saudi Arabia is funding terrorism.
Well, we can't get off the junk, man. It's just like a junkie. We're on the oil teat, and we just can't wean ourselves off of it.
Yeah, it's tough to go from, you know, I don't know, some kind of type of SUV to a Toyota Prius. I mean, my gosh, there's no get up and go in those cars at all.
It's not even that. It's like these SUV. Here's what I don't ever need to hear another SUV person say. I don't ever need to hear another person who drives an SUV looking me straight in the eye when they live in, like, I don't know what the equivalent there is, but live in some place like Beaverton here, some suburban paved strip mall yogurt shop neighborhood. What's that?
Calabasas.
There you go.
Is to say, well, what if I need to go off-road?
Yeah.
It's like, you don't need to go. Your ass is never going off the road. The only time you're going off the road is when you're taking an exit to stop at an Arco to fill up. That's it. Bugs me.
Well, you know, you have to have the SUV to get down to Starbucks, don't you?
Completely. I have to go pick up my spoiled little self-centered children from soccer practice I can put them back on a shelf as little tiny knickknacks to my own overinflated life.
I don't own an SUV, and I don't go off-roading, and I don't want to pay the insurance either.
See, I'm with you, man. When the revolution comes, you're with me.
I'm following you. I'm right behind you, pal.
And those guys...
You're my leader.
Mark my words. When the revolution comes, SUV drivers are going to be the first against the wall.
Yeah,
I'm saying right now, when the day of the rope comes, you know, there's gonna be a day of reckoning. And the SUV, those people in the Ford Canyonero or whatever the hell it is, or the Ford Behemoth, those guys are going down.
Well, you see, you've heard Porsche's SUV, haven't you? Have you seen that?
No.
It's called the Cayenne. It's the ugliest piece of crap I've ever seen.
Are you serious? There's a Porsche SUV?
Porsche has an SUV now. They unveiled it at the LA Auto Show last week.
What is that Mercedes thing? The Escalade? Is that what that is?
It just looks just as bad.
It's the size of Montana. Why would you possibly... And the notion of a luxury SUV, it's like those nitwits in the 80s had those luxury Jeeps. Don't scratch it. You know, it's like it's a Jeep. It's to be scratched. It's to be effed with. That's what you do with it.
That's right. You go off-roading with it.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
So let's talk about Arianna Huffington for a second. Do you find her strangely alluring like I do?
Yeah. I was thinking that when I was sitting there going, you know what? Maybe it's that stupid accent she has, but, you know, she doesn't look too bad for as old as she is.
No, and doesn't she look like she's probably got several dominatrix outfits sitting in a closet somewhere at home?
She's got that look in her eyes, yeah.
She would, man. She would leave you bruised but satisfied.
Yeah, there is something about her that you can't help but stare at her.
I'm telling you, man.
She doesn't have a bad body for, you know, older female.
No, for somebody with the, you know...
The background she has.
I don't know how old she is. Well, yeah, and she's had a bizarre life anyway, but for somebody of her... And I don't know how old is she? She's 50s?
It's got to be, you know, got to be. You know, poor Mike, he's going, hey, what happened?
Yeah, she's still looking good, though.
That's what I think, absolutely.
Right. CNN Radio's Jim Roop. Thank you, man. We'll talk to you, I think, later on this... this week, I think. All right, it's Jim Roop in Los Angeles. Who is this? What is this on? Who's the guy?
This is Brad, the car guy.
Oh, great. Maybe he's got an SUV. He wants Tim to drive. It's welcome to the show, Brad. This is the guy, the man behind the man.
The man behind the man. So you mean you wouldn't drive it around in a big, what I like to call, penis extender, you know, luxury SUVs?
That's what I'm saying. If I need that, I'm just going to go get the pump installed. You know what I mean? If rather than get the SUV, why don't you just go get the steel rod inserted in your member so you can, you know, it's...
Exactly. I do find the ad a little intellectually dishonest. For one, the worst gas-guzzling vehicle in the world is the one she probably drives in Manhattan when it's sitting there. You know, idling.
The limo is idling for a half hour
while she comes out of,
no, that's,
you know, fax.
That's completely true. Somebody was making that point about Sean Penn the other day. Sean Penn was going to do some yammering interview about Iraq, and he was there with some limo driving in there, running for no reason for 90 minutes outside in case they wanted to go fetch a Pop-Tart for him or something.
Yeah. You know, anymore, though, you can't even define what an SUV is.
Yeah.
So you tell me, it's the Subaru Legacy an SUV?
Well, that's the thing is, Subaru really straddles that line, too, because Subaru's got all those things that are kind of cars, kind of SUVs. It's like the Kia.
Yeah.
The Kia Sportage is the same way. It's
absolutely
kind of an
Rav4
SUV.
And all the other things, yeah.
Hey, so what's Tim driving now? I haven't seen it yet.
Tim's in that great Volvo S80 with the DVD player and TV. I told him he should be driving you around and actually limoing you so you can watch some stolen Lord of the Rings DVD in the back.
I wouldn't know anything about that. Is it a good-looking car? I haven't seen it.
Oh, it's nice. Yeah.
Is it white?
Yep, it's white.
Oh, yeah, I saw the
pearl white.
Oh, is it up front now?
Next to the Oscar Wienermobile.
Yeah, it's parked next to the Oscar Wienermobile over at the Devil Tree.
I don't know what you're talking about.
The Oscar Wienermobile is here in town, and I'm parked right next to it.
Maybe he should just hook you up with that next. You pick up chicks in that. Talk about a penis extender. Just drive a huge, phallic car.
I just got back from L.A., and I have to concur on the Cayenne.
Yeah.
It's not good.
No, a Porsche SUV.
It'll drive great. It's got that low front nose like a Porsche. It's got the Porsche crest on there, so clearly it's going to sell well. But, you know, they started at about $60,000.
Let me ask you this. Is it Porsche or Porsche?
It's Porsche. I actually used to work for them. It's a two-syllable word. We made shirts up that said that.
Oh, okay. All right. See, I have no idea. Let's talk about this this Mercury Marauder that Ian has. That thing is cool looking. Isn't that bad? That is, I mean, it's a four-door, it's a bigger car, probably for a family car, but it's, man, yeah, it's the Batmobile. That's exactly what it looks like.
What's great is if a guy, you know, passes you in traffic, you pull in behind him like you're the undercover cop.
Well, when the Men in Black come to terrify, you know, to scare you into not talking about your alien abduction story, that's what the Men in Black drive is, that Mercury Marauder. That is a cool looking car.
Yeah, we'll get Tim in that.
Oh,
yeah.
Man.
All my neighbors will lock themselves in their houses.
Seriously, that's what the NSA, that's what John Ashcroft drives when he comes to your house to root through your trash.
Yeah, you drive into certain neighborhoods with that and, you know, the cockroaches kind of scurry for cover with that.
I gotta get a picture of that so we can put it on the website. I'll get one from somewhere. That is a great looking car. Ian is driving that this week, so I'm a big fan of that. All right, there you go. There's Brad, the man behind the man, provides Tim with all his automotive excess.
Oh, the car show is coming here in a couple of weeks too.
Really?
Yeah.
The one where? In Portland?
Yeah.
Oh, excellent. Are we going?
Yeah, I guess we're supposed to get tickets.
Okay, cool. Give us some tickets to All right, it's 503-250-1080 in Portland. We'll talk to our good friend Matt here in a minute to see what's going on with him. Later on, top five musical acts who've never won a Grammy. Jolie from the front desk, Betsy later on as well. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland. 1-800-727-5955. It's the Rick Emerson Show on Hot Talk 1080 KFTK and your social distortion.
Rick Emerson, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right, here it is.
Rick Emerson, only from Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right, 503-250-TONETI in Portland, or 1-800-737-5955. It's a Rick Emerson Show. Coming up later on, top five musical artists who have never won a Grammy. Oh, but Tim is struggling with his headphones.
They had the wrong side on.
All right. In any event, I think we have an Aussie watch coming. Do we have an Aussie watch coming up?
We might.
Okay, it's entirely possible. Just making it up.
We're behind today.
Go along.
We're behind in our required material.
Jolie from the front desk also, Betsy. Is this Matt? He's not calling on it. He's not blocking somebody with his phone call today, is he? All right, let's check. From the Sunshine State, it's Matthew Peterson on vacation. What's up?
I thought this was the Orange State.
No, that's something else. Now, isn't Florida the Sunshine State?
Yes, it is.
Because California is a golden state. Yeah. Like, where else would it be? So, what
Arizona.
Is... Arizona. What is, no, Arizona is like the... I don't know what the hell that is.
Neither do I.
So, where are you at?
Little town called St. Augustine.
Which is... Somebody told me that was the oldest city, like, in that part of the country, the oldest city somewhere.
It's actually the oldest city, continuous city in the United States. It's older than all the stuff up in Pennsylvania and... Plymouth Rock and all that kind of stuff. Settlers were here first.
That seems unlikely. How can that be possible?
Well, that's just the way that it is.
Well, Columbus didn't discover St. Augustine. I think
actually, this is Ponce de Leon. And he was on Columbus's original ship and then was down in the San Juans and then came back. And this city was established before all the stuff up north.
Carmen San Diego, ladies and gentlemen.
He took a little
gentlemen.
Rowboat and went up there.
Yeah, no, okay. So, all right. So what is it? I mean, it's like some weird travelogue thing where you're going along. So is this, are you one of these people when you go on vacation, do you go on vacation with an agenda of, are you like Clark Griswold where it's like every day is planned out what you're going to do, what you're going to see?
We had a few things that that I wanted to see while I was here. But no, we haven't really had an agenda. We just kind of, you know, whatever we wanted to do that day, we've gone and done.
Hey, we should be placing orders for stuff we want Matt to bring us back. You got to bring me a snow globe.
Everybody else has already placed their orders. I've got a magnet that's coming back for Jolie.
Oh,
and
you weasel. Nobody asked me.
I meant to buy you a pen, and I forgot to get it. I was going to get you an astronaut's pen when I was at the Space Museum. Writes upside down, writes underwater. But I didn't grab one when I left.
You got to hook me up with a snow globe.
I can find a snow globe.
That either says Florida or the city of your choosing. I'll put it right next to the one I just got from Michelle in Scotland.
Well, Florida will be less impressive than Scotland, but fun nonetheless.
Where are you right now? This is the worst cell phone connection ever.
Yeah, we're actually headed back to Orlando from St. Augustine on Highway 95.
All right. Well, catch a melanoma for me.
A melanoma? Well, I hope not.
Okay. There you go. There's Matt Peterson in Florida. Talk to him tomorrow. All right. Stay safe. Here's Tim Riley in the KOTK Newsroom.
Time for the Aussie Watch.
Here's your Aussie Watch. For Wednesday on the Rick Emerson Show.
Well, it looks like Ozzy and Sharon Osbourne are distraught over what they are calling the theft of a $15,000 necklace from their New Year's Eve party. MTV.com reports at the celebration to which two renewed their wedding vows after more than 20 years of marriage. Well, the couple raffled off items to family members and close friends. The Osbournes say that the alleged thief crashed the party, obtained a raffled credit card, and consequently won the necklace. But the woman who won the jewelry says she had done nothing wrong and won the necklace legitimately. She claims she was invited to the party by a friend of the Osbournes and believes she is now the rightful owner of the jewelry. The Osbournes have asked the woman to return the necklace, but so far she's refused. The family has filed a police report concerning the incident.
See, and it seems like Sharon Osbourne is somebody you don't want to be on the wrong side of.
Oh, no.
She seems like somebody you don't want to have as your enemy. There's your Aussie Watch for Wednesday on the Rick Emerson Show.
Thanks for joining us.
Sorry about that one.
Well, let's see what's on TV tonight, shall we?
Yes.
The Search of the Oregon Trail, the Writings of the Pioneers, and contemporary historians profile the great migration here from Middle America to the uncharted West. Stacy Keach, who was Mike Hammer.
Mike Hammer, and who is now Mike Hammer again, by the way, on the Mystery Channel, if you get the Mystery Channel.
That was the greatest show, but he ruined it with a cocaine and the shaving cream.
I was just going to say, that's totally what it is. Mike Hammer, another great show brought down by cocaine. Cocaine has destroyed, seriously, like, did you ever read that Blender list? Blender had the 50 enemies of My pants are chafing me for some reason.
Oh, sorry to hear that.
Let me adjust.
Sure. We'll wait.
But they had the 50 enemies of rock and roll, and cocaine was like number four, because cocaine has just destroyed every band, every star, every movie. They've all been destroyed by cocaine. And that's why Stacey Keach looks so drawn and haggard these days. Did you ever see American History X, though?
No.
He was really good in American History X. He played this Aryan William Pierce kind of guy. He's freaky.
But he has the greatest voice.
Oh, he has a great voice. He's a great actor, too. He's got that. He's totally got that noir look, too, the square jaw and the piercing eyes, yeah.
Biography tonight features Nicolas Cage. Then we have the Growing Pains movie, which got 2 stars.
The Growing Pains movie. Hey, Sarah kind of looks like Tracy Gold. Don't you see?
No, not at all.
Oh, okay. You don't look at all like Tracy Gold.
Did you see that movie, though?
I always get those
two mixed
up.
I saw about a half hour of it, the Growing Pains movie.
Yeah, did you see your behind the scenes about anorexia and all that?
No, I skipped it. I don't need to, I don't need to hear about a rich chick who won't eat.
Predator is on tonight, Predator 2. Then we have the Osbournes, a double shot for 2 for Tuesday. it's
in Rocktober.
Are they repeats?
No, it doesn't say. There
Where?
Must be new ones.
On what?
I watch those all the time.
On MTV.
Everything on MTV is a repeat. What are you talking about?
Then there's a social history of the tattoo.
It's like they had the social history of the mosh pit last night. 2 hours of that stupid... Who's that guy that looks like Matthew Pinfield's little bastard kid, Ian something or other? Is his name Ian? You know what I'm talking about? Little fat, bald bastard who's always wearing a sweatshirt.
Oh, the one on MTV?
He was always wearing a Slipknot sweatshirt.
Oh, yeah, I can't remember
like
his name.
He's way hyped. He always looks like he's bad
pretty spastic.
Speed or something. Yeah.
Yeah,
and he's always talking about... And so, also, coming up at Lollapalooza at 90, or whatever the hell the tour is that they do
now. I still
love
how they have the hardcore punk guy and then the guy with the turban on his head. Just like they have to, like... fit every single stereotype
and he's
on MTV.
And he's always on him. They're talking about, that's the thing, isn't it? It's totally just pandering to every niche. And he's always talking about keeping it real and whatnot. Look, I love MTV as much as the next person, maybe a little more, but you're on MTV, you're not keeping anything real. You're not representing anything on MTV. On MTV, you're just another dick on MTV. Good, bad, and different. It's true.
HBO Sex in the City quits after this year's 6th season.
Yes!
With its final episode airing early next year.
Good.
So that's it.
Good.
So much for that.
And now you know, people quit yammering about it.
Did you ever watch it?
You know, I tried. I tried to like it. We watched it for the first solid season. We watched the whole first year. And
oh, you did, okay.
I wanted to like it because I was brainwashed by the press. You've got to like it. It's must-see. It's the show everyone's talking about, which isn't really the case. You know, everyone's just talking about how everyone's talking about it. No one's really talking about it. Never has so much ink been spilled about such a subpar show.
Didn't you have a theory that nobody actually even watches that show?
I don't really know anybody who does.
People just aren't keeping it real.
It's... We'll be back. Rick Emerson's show. Stay there.
Rick Emerson. Only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.